2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. Do appreciate the Lord tonight. Appreciate His goodness, His mercy, and His love. 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 22. The Bible says, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all the kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judea. Who is then among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up." I want to preach just a little while tonight. I've got to be our help, on what to expect. What to expect. Amen. As we look at this, we can see, and if you go back to 2 Chronicles chapter number 1, we see that the book opens with the telling of the temple being built. Magnificent temple that was built. And we see here in the end of this 2 Chronicles chapter 36, we see the temple being torn down and destroyed. We see it being taken to the ground, if you will. And as we think about that, we see that God's a moving and God has a plan. And we see how the enemy moves in this thing. And we see in 2 Chronicles how the enemy moved even to tearing down to the house of God. The enemy's there. The enemy's always present. Amen. But I'm glad there's a God that's bigger than the enemy. I'm glad there's a God that's bigger than our adversary, the devil, and the fiends of this world who would want to so easily beset us. But I'm glad that God Almighty is still on the throne, and He's still moving in the hearts and minds of His people, and He's still helping folks like me and you. But we see as they gather in there and the enemy gathers in, praise God, we see the enemy comes in, and the first thing he won't do is rob the temple. Amen? In 2 Chronicles 36, we didn't read it for the second time, but in 36 verse 7, he said, "But Nebuchadnezzar also carried up the vessels of the house of the Lord to Babylon and put them in the temple at Babylon." So we see the enemy comes along and it takes the things of God. Isn't it amazing how the enemy's wanting all, the enemy wants to say, well, there is no God, and God's not a true God, and God's not a good God, and all these kind of things. But isn't it interesting how all through the Word of God, the enemy's wanting to take the things of God? Amen? There must be something to it when they want to take the things that belong to God. In verse 19, he says, "And they burnt the house of God and break down the wall of Jerusalem and burn all the palaces thereof with fire and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof." See, that's what the enemy does. It wants to tear up and tear down. It wants to take away from God and godliness. I praise God. But I'm telling you, there's a God of heaven. He owns it all. They may take a little here and they may take a little there. But I've got news from another country. And God says when it's all said and done, we're going to be rewarded. Praise God, with things that's out of this world. One day, Josh, in a little while, praise God, let them have what this world's God. Let them have everything that we see here. I'm just going to stay with Jesus. I'm going to go with God. One day in a little while, Brother Junior, praise God, we've got a blessed hope and redemption. And one day we're going to have the ultimate prize. Praise the Lord. They're tearing up and they're tearing down. Amen. You see the enemy as they do that. But something here that was never expected. Bible tells us in verse 14, it says, "Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem." So not only was the enemy teared down, but he said the priest and some of the people had decided to defile, praise God, their very own temple. Amen. The devil's an adversary. He's everywhere all the time wanting to tear up, wanting to destroy. He'll never do anything, praise God, to build up and encourage. So we see how this thing's playing out, and we see how they got a hold of some of those people that was supposed to be on God's side, supposed to be in Jerusalem worshiping God and magnifying His name, and they defiled themselves. They transgressed against God. In other words, they just slammed missed the mark. Amen. That's what that transgress means. It means to miss the mark. And they was a... They followed after the abominations of the heathen. They polluted the house of the Lord. But He had hallowed in Jerusalem. He had hallowed it. He had made it a place. He had set it aside for a place to worship Him in spirit and truth. See, Nebuchadnezzar, he had done taken Jerusalem to Babylon. But the Jewish leaders, praise God, in Jerusalem had begun to bring Babylon to Jerusalem. Amen. Before Nebuchadnezzar did what he did, praise God, there was already some people on the side of the devil that was pulling in the wrong direction. Amen. Praise God. What do you expect to happen when you get to going in the wrong direction? Amen. You'll tear something all to pieces. Amen. You get a set of mules that won't work together, and you get one pulling one way and one pulling the other way, and you'll tear up creation. Amen. They tear up more than they fix. We see how they done, praise God. They begin to bring Babylon into Jerusalem. Amen. If we ain't careful, we'll bring the world right into the church. We got to be careful, young'uns. We got to be vigilant today. Amen. We got to look at what we believe in, what we stand for, our morals, our convictions, and we got to stand upon them unmovedly. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Find us a firm foundation. Amen. Praise the Lord. We shouldn't have to beat you overhead with stick to help you to know what's right. Amen. Even that lunatic over there in Gadara, he said, when he got right, praise God, the Bible said he is clothed and in his right mind. Amen. Mean to be, that means he was fully dressed. He wasn't exposing himself. Amen. Praise God. We're to cover ourselves up as a children of God. Amen. Stand for something. Praise God. Amen. Try to be an example to a lost and dying world. Try to be an example to our children, our grandchildren. Try to be an example for those folks that go to school with and we work with. They can see Christ in us, that hope of glory. Amen. But the morals had been let down. Something had slipped. God help. And then we see the cost. What do you expect the cost to be? Amen. When you begin to slip, when you begin to transgress against God. Amen. The cost was death in the temple. Look at verse 17. He's therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden. Or man, or him that stooped for age, he gave them all into his hand. Amen. There was no mercy. Death pursued them. Amen. See, God had tried to show them compassion. God offers compassion. God's always going to offer compassion. Amen. Go ahead and say verse 15. Said the Lord God of their father sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending. Because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Amen. Said God had compassion on his people. He had compassion on his dwelling place. He had compassion on the sanctuary. And he sent the ministers to minister. He sent the prophets to tell them, praise God, to open your eyes and look up, praise God. Redemption draws nigh. And we need to be faithful to God and godliness. Amen. We need that today like we've never needed it before. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm not talking about coming to church. I'm talking about being faithful to the God we serve. Amen. Lifting Him up and praising Him, giving Him glory. Walking steadfastly with Him. Amen. Because not the enemy will come in. See, the enemy showed no compassion. Showed no compassion at all. He said they mocked the messengers of God. Despised the words and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord rose against his people till there was no remedy. Amen. God said, I took enough till I could take no more. God said, when God rose up, when God says, I've had enough. Amen. When God says, He's had enough. He's had enough. And all we can do is just look out. Because God's going to pour out His wrath on those that are disobedient to Him. Those that choose to reject Him and neglect Him. He will deal with. Amen. Lord, help us. The enemy showed up. And the enemy showed no compassion for these people. They went in there. Now notice what's happened here. They went into the sanctuary. Do you see the picture here? The children of God, the people that confessed to know God Almighty as their Lord and their Savior, they got scared. They got frightened. You know what they did? They had been transgressed against God. They was transgressing against God. But when they found out they was in trouble, they run down to the house of God, run down there to the sanctuary, and thought they would be safe. Amen. Tell you what, you better be safe and saved in the Lord. Every day, everywhere. We better put our faith and trust in Him all the time. We better not think that we can run down to the house of God and everything's going to be okay. That's a good place to start. Make it okay. But praise God, we better stay with God so that things are okay. So when we get to the house of God, we can talk to the God of the house. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Listen. At 9/11, they would said that they was churches all over this country just piled full of people. People were piling full of churches. They cried out, "Oh Lord, help us!" Yeah. Amen. Oh Lord, help us! People is living in adultery and drunkenness and all these kind of things that's in the world. And they forsook those for a moment in time. They run down to the house of God when they seen things going all the pieces and thought they might need something from God. Amen. You can wait till you wait too late. Amen. What do you expect God to do in a spur of a moment? Amen. Praise God. If the Holy Ghost of God ain't dealing with people's heart and keeping us where we need to be, I said it'll be keeping us where we need to be. Amen. Well, Holy Ghost of God shouldn't have chased you all over the country trying to figure out whether you're going to serve God or not. Amen. He ought to find you down at the Lord's house looking for an opportunity to magnify and lift up His name. To worship Him in spirit and truth. These folks figured they could run down to the temple. They hoped they would find God's protection down there at the sanctuary. But it's too late. Amen. It was too late. The house of prayer done been turned into a den of thieves. Hello? They say, The Lord said that's what it'd become. It's a house of prayer, but it'd become a den of thieves. Amen. They run there. They thought they would be okay. The Bible says that the king of Chaldees slew them. Their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary had no compassion upon the young man or the maiden, old man, or the stooped for age. He gave them all into His hand. Amen. Ain't had no compassion. Ain't never gave no second chances. I tell you, friend, you get to running with the world today. The world won't give you no second chances. Amen. Praise God, but God will. God had compassion on them. He sent them messengers one after another. Praise God. Betimes and sending, praise God. To try to get their attention. Amen. Praise the Lord. He had compassion on His dwelling place, a place of sanctuary, a place of hope, a place of help. Amen. Where we could come in like we're doing and getting something from God, praising Him along the way. Amen. For all that He's doing. So we see that the temple was destroyed. Amen. The temple was destroyed. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 25, chapter 25, 26, He said this, He prophesied that this would happen. Amen. He said, hey, be looking for it. If we don't turn from our wicked ways and turn to God, He said, this is going to happen. Amen. I wonder how God's just speaking to her heart tonight. He said, hey, listen, America, if you don't turn from your wicked ways and turn back to God, this is going to happen. We got young people in America piling in these colleges, protesting. And they don't even know what they're protesting. I'll just be honest with you. From watching them, some of them, they want to talk. They say, well, we don't know. You've got to talk to somebody else. We're just here to protest. Amen. We're here to protest because that's what the college says we're supposed to do. Amen. What the Lord be telling them is you ought to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. Love Him, praise God, and get in there and worship Him and praise Him and pray for others. Pray for yourself. I'm lifting up the God of heaven. But they're messed up as termite in the yo-yo. The nations, praise God, they disobeyed God. They become disobedient to God. That transgressed the words of God. Amen. That even transgressed the sabbatical celebrations where God said in Leviticus that they should retain them year after year. And they forgot them. They forgot about the year of Jubilee. They forgot about the years of sabbatical when they would not plant the crop and they would trust in God that year. Amen. Because He promised He would provide. What did they do? They didn't trust God. Amen. You know, it's easy to look at Israel. It's easy to look at those people of old and say, well, bless God, I don't understand why they didn't trust God. Amen. Oh, it's long. It's good. It's easy to look down on your long ecclesiastical nose and look at somebody else and say, well, why they didn't just trust God? Amen. It's something to trust God. We got to believe on God. Got to trust God. Amen. We have to trust God. Amen. Why didn't they trust God? Because the very same reason that men you don't trust God a whole lot of times. We become self-sufficient. Amen. And we become self-sufficient on so many things, praise God. We think, well, God can handle this too. Guess what? He can, but He ain't going to when we put ourselves ahead of Him. Amen. Praise God. We need the Lord to help us. Amen. Because judgment's coming. The judgment comes and we got to be ready, praise God. We got to be looking up, lifting up our head so we can see the Redeemer. The Redeemer's the one that's coming for the redeemed. Those that's been born again, praise God, by the precious blood of our Savior. Amen. Amen. Keep your eyes on the Son and you'll never see death. Amen. That shadow of death will always be behind you, praise God, if we keep our eyes on the Lord. Amen. Because judgment was coming. But God Almighty, praise God. Thank God that He gives opportunities. He gives chances. And in Habakkuk chapter number 3 and verse number 2, Habakkuk says this. He said, it talking about God. He said, in wrath, He remembers mercy. Amen. In wrath, God remembers mercy. He offers mercy to us. Hey, we should have the world that we live in today, these United States that we live in, we've turned our back on God and we deserve the wrath of God. We deserve it. Amen. We deserve every bit of it. But praise God, I'm glad that God Almighty, He promised us and He gave us some hope here. Bless His holy name. And the text I read in your hearing, he said, and King Cyrus, he'd call that old wicked king, and he'd begin to deal with his heart. Cyrus, king of Persia. Now let me just tell you, Persia is what we now call Iran. Amen, glory, hallelujah. You tell me God ain't able. God's able to get a hold of Ayatollah. He's able to turn him around, turn him a flip, turn him upside down, save him by His marvelous grace by morning. Praise God, have him doing things His way. Amen. Praise the Lord. But he called on Osiris, king of Persia. The word of God had spoken through Jeremiah began to deal with his heart. And he began to make some decisions. He said, Lord, stir up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. So he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, now see, once it was written down, once it was proclaimed, once it was sealed with the king's ring, it could not be changed. Amen. It had to be fulfilled. Carried out. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me. He had, hey, this old wicked king had enough sense, praise God, to realize that he didn't get nothing on his own, but God Almighty had given him what he had. Amen. He had more sense than Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar began to brag on himself what he had. Amen. And he was out for a while out in the pastures picking grass. Praise God, because God took his kingdom from him. But praise God, Cyrus rises up. And he said, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me. And he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you? Amen. Now watch this question he has. What do you expect from God? I expect a lot of things. When you have people that'll answer the call of God, that'll step out and say like, oh, Isaiah, Lord, I'll go. Lord, send me. Praise his holy name. And God begins to move on their hearts, just like he did old King Cyrus. And he sets out and he said, hey, listen, I've got a desire. God told me I got to go to Jerusalem. I've got to build a temple back there. Said, who'll go? Amen. Praise the Lord. I need somebody. Says, who is there among you of all his people? And the Lord, that Lord his God be with him. Now watch this. And let him go up. Amen. He said, who'll go? He said, God'll pick you out. God'll set you. And he said, let the God of heaven, let this God, praise God that I'm talking about, let him go up. Let him go up with you. Amen. We see this thing start to play out. What do you expect from God? I didn't expect God to move in some old heathen king, but I expect God to do the things that God said he would do, to fulfill the promises God said he had, that he offered in promise. But praise God that one day we could be partakers in those promises. Amen. Praise the Lord. Exciting time. So you say, what happened? But we see in the book of Ezra, praise God, that God began to move in a mighty way. Ezra chapter 1, we see the people begin to go back. They begin to gather together and they begin to head back up to Jerusalem. They were some of them. Brother Jeff, they had enough courage. And they said, they throw their hand up in there. He said, here I am, send me. I'll go back. I'll go up there and I'll build. Praise God, I've got a mind to build. I've got a heart to build. Send me and let me build. Amen. You know, every good venture always starts out. Now, listen to me. Always starts out with one person. It just about always starts out with one person. One person, God moves upon their heart, and they say, "You know what? I believe I'm going to try to do something for the Lord." Amen. Praise the Lord. A lot of times, somebody else will come along and say, "Well, if you're going to, I will too." Amen. Praise God. And you see things starting to take hold. People begin to move. And he began to lay out the things for them to do and the things for them to take up. Amen. And we see here in Ezra chapter 1, he said even the folks that wasn't able to go, I pray God wasn't able to go up. I pray God maybe physically wasn't able or wasn't able for some reason, wasn't able to go up and work up there. Praise God, they said, you know what? We'll make sure you got what you need. And Ezra chapter 1, verse number 4, praise God, he said, whosoever remaineth in the place where he sojourneth, let the men of this his place help him with silver, and with gold, and with goods, and with beasts, because the free will offering, beside the free will offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Amen. Praise God, okay, had enough good godliness in him. He said, hey, listen, you may not be able to go, but you can provide the goods to go. Amen. Praise the Lord. They begin to load them up. Goodness gracious. And we see the return as they head back up to Jerusalem, back up to God's place. And then we see the people. In chapter number 2, in Ezra chapter 2, we see the people as they begin to gather together. And we have this long genealogy of all these peoples. All these people by the thousands that begin to gather up. And over here you got a few, and over here you got a few. People throwing up their hand and they said, Lord, I'll go. And somebody else said, well, if they're going, I'm going to go. And somebody else said, you know what? You're not going to leave me. If you're going, I'm going. That's the way the house of God ought to be when it comes to the rapture of church, when it comes going out of here to go home with the Lord. Praise God, we ought to be saying, you know what? If you're going, praise God, I'm going to get ready, and I'm going to go too. And pray God will have children and grandchildren come along beside us and say, Papa, if you're going, Mama, if you're going, I'm going to go too. Amen. Or to be getting them in by the multitudes. Seeing them saved. Praise God, because we're happy for the work. Amen. Praise God, because it's a work of God. So we see the people. In Ezra chapter 2, verse 64 and 65, the Bible says there's 42,360 in the congregation that went up. It says 7,337 servants and maids. And I like this. He said, Brother Jeff said they was 200 singers, men and women, praise God, singing praises unto God. Amen. Prepare their heart to sing praises to the Lord. Amen. Praise God along the way. See, you had to know the traditions of those people as they would go along the way. They would sing the Psalms. Amen. Praise God. That's why the Psalms were written. They were written as songs to be sung. We had 200 men and women. Praise God. They had on their heart, praise God, to sing the Psalms as they went up together. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine? Can you see it? Can you see it taking place? Praise God. They're returning to Jerusalem. They're going up to rebuild the temple of the Lord that had been totally destroyed and tore down. I mean, I'm talking about a magnificent temple. The temple that Solomon had built was a magnificent temple. It was magnificence in design. It was magnificent in size. It was magnificent in its appearance. It was awesome. It was something to behold. Amen. They marveled at it. It's magnificence. So we see the return. We see the people. And then we see the altar. Amen. Chapter number 3, we see the altar. Praise God, where they go up. Now, I want you to notice something here. There is... Let me get in here. Everybody look at me. Just a second. There is no temple, okay? But they're going to build the altar. And they're going to worship. And they're going to offer the sacrifice. Amen. What do we have today? We don't have a temple, but they can still set up an altar and they can still offer up the sacrifice, even though the temple is not built yet. People all the time say, well, preacher, they can't do the sacrifice till the temple's built. That ain't what God says. Amen. Praise God. Ain't what God says. Praise the Lord. They began to build that altar. They set up an altar. They began to offer up sacrifice. What was they doing? They was worshiping God. Amen. Praise God. They begin to worship God. Why did they do that? To be a witness. To be a witness to those people that were around there that was paying attention. And there was a lot of people paying attention. There was a lot of people would like to stop the work of God. Amen. You mean they had enemies? They sure did. More than you could imagine. Enemies of God are everywhere. They're wanting to stop the work of God. They're wanting to stop it dead in their tracks. That's what they'd like to do today. They'd like to stop us from having this blessed old King James Bible. Amen. You know, today, if you use your credit card and you order you a couple King James Bibles, you're put on a list. Your bank turns you in. Amen. And you're put on a list. You may be one of them potential people. Amen, if they need to watch. You know, one of them red hat wearing people. They need to keep an eye on them. Because you bought a Bible. Or maybe because you bought a box of shells. Amen, God help you buy a gun. Amen. Praise God, there's a God of heaven, amen, that's in charge of it all. Praise God, and He give us a sovereignty, and He give us a godliness and a godwardness. Praise God, to step out on faith against the enemy of this world. Praise God, that's coming at us, and we need to be prepared. Jesus even asked the disciples, He said, do you have a sword? Amen. He said, in case they come at us. We got to be able to defend ourselves. Let them know that we're willing to fight if we have to. Amen. Praise God. We have to be able to stand up and magnify God of heaven against the enemies of this world. We see as the enemies begin to gather up against Israel, as they begin to come up to build. Amen. The enemies were surrounding them, we see in Ezra chapter 3 and verse 3. Amen. They begin to offer up the altar, the offering on the altar. And they set the altar upon his bases. For fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord. That's God Jehovah. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Even burnt offerings morning and evening. Amen. Lord, hallelujah. They worship God. And they said the enemies are watching. Said, well, let them see this. Amen. Praise God. The enemies are watching. Let them see us worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. Praise God. They don't know what to do with that. And maybe they'll get in. Just maybe. Maybe something will touch your heart. Amen. Amen. They also kept the Feast of Tabernacles. That Feast of Ingathering. Amen. What was they celebrating? God gathering them in. Amen. Praise the Lord. God done picked them out, plucked them out, was bringing them in. They was worshiping, praising because of God's goodness. What God has done for them and what God was going to do for them. The promises that He made. Praise the Lord. As they began to partake of the things that God had given them. Praise the Lord. And then in verse 6, and from the first day of the seventh month, began they to offer burnt offerings to the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. But yet laid. Amen. They were still praising and worshiping God. Amen. Praise the Lord. They was worshiping the God of the temple. Amen. Without the temple. Praise God. There was something inside them that made them want to worship God. In verse number 8, it says, then they began to, in the second year, they're coming into the house of God at Jerusalem. In the second month, began Zerubbabel, the son of Shethel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, appointed Levites from 20 years old and upward, to set forward to work the work of the house of the Lord. They began to think about the temple. Amen. Been a long time coming, but they began to think about that temple. And they began to think about the foundations of that temple. Amen. Said when the build, verse number 10 said, When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priest in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites and the son of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. So when they begin to lay the foundations, praise God, they begin to come together and that's because the foundation, praise God, that was the determining factor of what the temple would be. It would be a place of worship, a place of praise to God. It was that foundation, praise God, that they laid forth for the Lord. And, okay, Cyrus said, we've got to do that because God said to. Amen. So they laid the foundation. Now see, to lay the foundation, you've got the size, and you've got the shape of it, and you've got the size and the shape will determine the strength of it, how it'll stand and how it'll perform. Amen? Praise God. It'll be the foundation to the whole structure. So they begin to lay the foundation. Of course, the foundation is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. That's our foundation today. What we build upon. But it was a time of tears and a time of cheers, joy and reflection. So as they begin to build this temple, but many of the priests. Verse number 11, and they sang together by chorus in praising, giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good. For His mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Amen. They was excited. Praise God. Because the foundation was down. The starting point was there. That's what they'd been longing for a long time. Can you imagine how eager the Jew is today to begin to lay the foundation for that third temple? Oh man, how excited they are. He said, but many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house, oh, and all its magnificence and its splendor. So when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy. You got people weeping, and you got people cheering, and you got people excited, and you got people crying. Amen. Praise God. Some people remember what it used to be. Some people are looking forward to what it will be. Amen. And so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout for joy, of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. That's what makes the difference. Amen. A fellow told me a couple weeks ago, I was talking to him. He said, preacher, I don't know. You know, all this mess with COVID and all the things that we've lost through COVID, like we've lost, you know, during all this time of we've been going through. He said, I don't know if we'll ever get it back. I don't believe it'll ever be as good as it used to be. Amen. And I just kind of stood there and looked at him. And he said, well, what do you think? I said, brother, my God hasn't changed a bit. Amen. You may think that it couldn't be as good as it used to be, but I serve a God that can make it better than it's ever been. Amen. When God's people come with a desire like he did when Cyrus sent them up and he said, I'll go, praise God, it can be better than it was before. Amen. The other temple, they had some issues. There was times and places where they forgot to remember God. God had to depart. They wrote upon an Ichabod. The Lord has departed. Amen. But in this temple, praise God, they could worship God, magnify God with joy in their heart and spirit. See God move like he never had before. Amen. See, a magnificent temple ain't no good if there ain't a magnificent God in it. Amen. Same way with me and you tonight, youngins. It don't matter how good, how big we are. Amen. As the temple of the Lord. But if it's an empty temple, it ain't much of a temple at all. Amen. But if we get filled with God, get shed of our transgressions, missing the mark, praise God, aim at God and godliness. Amen. What do you expect? Expect God to magnify himself, to build the temple according to his perfect will, his perfect way. See, he told them how to lay the foundation. He told them how to build it. Amen. And if God told you how to lay the foundation, God tells you how to build upon the foundation. Don't you think God's going to give the increase? Amen. Praise God. What do you expect? I expect God to do exceeding great and abundant, but far above anything that we can hope or imagine. Amen. Because he's still God. Because he's still God. He said they shouted, people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. You know what I'd like to see, Brother Jeff, in this revival coming up? I'd like to see our folks. And Miss G's worried to death that people won't come. I am too. I'm be honest. I hate to have a revival and invite a man to come preach his heart out and nobody show up. Amen. Nobody show up. But I just hope that we can show up and we can come just to get filled to running over so we can shout and praise, give God glory, and it'll be heard afar off. Amen. So that those others can get in. So a spirit revival begin to stir. I'd like to see up here, praise God, that the spirit revival begin to stir and just to, like a flood go down the holler. Amen. Praise the Lord. See us get in and get on fire for God and see other folks begin to get in and get on. That's why we, hey, listen, don't grieve the Holy Ghost of God in this meeting. Amen. If the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart, praise God, mind Him. If you need to come to this altar three times a service, amen, come to the altar three times a service. If God puts three different people at three different times, praise God, come pray for them. Hello? Amen. I'm talking about revival. I'm talking something that can be heard afar. What do you expect from God? I expect a noise that can be heard from afar. Amen. Stirred up, excited about the things of God. Amen. They say, well, preacher, I just don't know. Well, what about you? We've got to be, you, me, you, I, we have got to be stirred up. We need to be stirred up about the things of God, because it is so good. And what God has done before, Brother Kevin, He can do it again.
Amen.
Amen. We need to see an old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival with God Almighty moving through the pews. Folks popping up like popcorn, just praising God and giving Him glory. Amen. Just to praise Him, amen, and not caring what people think. Just saying, praise God because He's good to me. And He is. I can say that from my heart tonight. God is good to this old boy. And I appreciate Him so much. What do you expect? What I expect from God? I expect Him to stir in my heart every day of my life. Amen. One day in a little while, call me home to be with Him. Amen. That's my heart's desire tonight. Amen. To have a stirring in my heart. Because I'll just give you this and I'll hush. Because we are that temple of God. Our foundation is sure. Amen. It's something to shout and praise God over. Because our foundation is Jesus Christ our Lord. And you don't get no better than that. Amen. Praise His name.